and get ready for the racing weekend.
Checker flag!
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Further back, five wide, up the back straightaway, and a big, bold move for Ross Chastain, and they're going to make it work in three.
Ryan Blaney using the Roush Yates horsepower. He'll pull to the inside and take over the race lead again on lap 133.
Racing Trouble Network. Off turn two, back straightaway. One car sideways. It looks like it's Martin Truex Jr. as he has spun and come to a stop.
Chase Briscoe trying to do something at this level that he has never done before, and that would be to take himself and that team to victory lane.
Briscoe tried to put on the block, but it was too little, too late. Three wide for the top spot. Chastain down low. Briscoe in the middle. Kevin Harvick right behind. It'll be Briscoe off the turn.
Mistake-free and a day he will never forget. Off four, final time. Checkered flag is out. Career win number one for Chase Briscoe across the line, and Briscoe will win.
And welcome in. That's how it sounded on the Motor Racing Network and here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This is Chasing Checkers, presented by Apple Collision Centers and the Bristol Motor Speedway. Get down and dirty April 16th and 17th at Bristol Motor Speedway for the Food City Dirt Race. For more info and to purchase tickets, just go to the BristolMotorSpeedway.com. That's BristolMotorSpeedway.com. Chase McCabe here with you on a Sunday morning, as always. And what a race it was at Phoenix Raceway last week. And so far this year, we've now had two first-time winners in the first four races. And, you know, you can't forget about Bowman. You can't forget about the defending champion, Kyle Larson. They've already notched a win in their belts this year. But Austin Cindric winning his first race in the Daytona 500 to kick off the season, and now Chase Briscoe has taken that Stuart Haas Ford to victory lane for the first time in his career. The youth movement is well underway in the NASCAR Cup Series, and we'll talk to a young driver on today's show. Ty Dillon going to join us at 8:30 this morning as we'll get his thoughts on the young season and also the move that he made in the offseason, taking over the number 42 car for GMS Petty GMS Motorsports as he has moved to that team. So looking forward to that conversation with him. But let's get into the racing from Phoenix, because Chase Briscoe had a heck of a race car all day long. But the thing that was cool to me was watching everything unfold in the Ruoff Mortgage 500. And the top three are these young drivers that all three were battling to get their first win. Chase Briscoe, Ross Chastain, and Tyler Reddick. And Chastain and Reddick, they are knocking on the door. I mean, if they don't win here soon, I'm going to be very, very surprised by that. But it just shows you how difficult it is to win in the NASCAR Cup Series. But Chase Briscoe, who I'm a big fan of, he's been on the show before. He's a very humble guy. He is very, very strong in his faith, which I can appreciate and respect a lot. He gets it done, and he caught up with Fox Sports on the front stretch after taking the checkered flag in the Cup Series for the first time.
You, my friend, are the 200th winner in the Cup Series.
That's unbelievable. I was crying the whole last lap. I mean, this is definitely a team win, but just I got to thank everybody that's got me to this point. You know, 7 years ago, I was sleeping on couches, volunteering at race shops, and was literally driving home to give up. And Briggs Cunningham and Carrie Scherer and Beth Cunningham gave me an opportunity, and it's led to this. So unbelievable. So blessed to be, you know, driving at the organization of the team and the car that was my hero growing up. So to get this 14 back in victory lane, to do it with Mahindra Tractors, their first year in the sport, highpoint.com, Rush Truck Centers, Ford Force Racing School, everybody that's believed in me, it's unbelievable.
You have dreamed for years, as you mentioned, of driving in your idol Tony Stewart's race car. You looked a lot like Tony Stewart out there today.
Yeah, those restarts. I mean, we were sliding guys and everything else, and I hope the race fans enjoyed the race. It was unbelievable from my point. So thank you guys for coming out. We've missed you the last 2 years with COVID and everything else. So
So thankful to have you guys back. Without you guys, we don't have a sport. We don't get a race and do what we do for a living. So thank you to each and every one of you. I wish my wife and baby Brooks was here. Definitely special and one that's going to be remembered forever.
You know, you heard him mention the fans there. I mean, that was cool. I was at Phoenix for the championship weekend in November, and the crowds were awesome. But, you know, to have that place sold out and to see sellouts this year, and you got Chase Elliott that's going and racing at local tracks in Georgia, did that last night. I mean, it just – the sport is rising in the right direction, and I think this youth movement has a lot to do with it too. I had somebody tell me, one of my best friends, Ricky, said that, you know, he's a casual NASCAR fan. And the thing that he's liked this year is the new car just – it kind of draws everybody in with the style of racing that it's produced. I think that is a huge positive for NASCAR, and I thought that was interesting to pass on. But Chase Briscoe, I think can be a popular guy. It's funny, you know, he's got that just laid back and just like a somebody you would, I mean, if you're a dad with a daughter that you would want your daughter to marry. I mean, he's just a really, really good guy, and he works hard at it. And you heard him telling the story there with Fox Sports of, you know, he was close to giving up on racing, and it all worked out for him. To get with Ford, and then now with Stuart Haas in his second year, and he's a Cup Series winner, the 200th different Cup Series winner in the history of the NASCAR Cup Series, which I think is pretty cool. And he expanded upon just what it means to win in his post race press conference.
Yeah, just to get there, just to run a Cup race. I never thought I would even run a single truck race, let alone run a Cup race, and I'd be a winner. And to be the 200th winner at that, you know, there's some incredible guys that are on that list of, you know, just to be one of 200 is, it's humbling. It's unbelievable. You know, I said it in my post race deal. I mean, 7 years ago, I was literally 2 days away from giving up racing, at least on the pavement side. And Briggs and Beth Cunningham called me and asked if I wanted to test their ARCA car, and that's turned into a race, and that turned into a full season, and then that turned into, you know, Ford taking a chance on me. And there was many times along the way where my career could have been over, even in the last four or five. So to now be a winner in the Cup Series is unbelievable. You know, just to be one of 40 guys week in and week out is special, and now to say that you were the best guy that day. You know, these guys are incredible race car drivers, and just to even be on the racetrack with them is humbling, and to say that you beat them is definitely humbling.
I thought that first line of just to get here, just to be in the Cup Series is, you know, it's an honor and a privilege. I mean, that's really how a lot of these guys feel, and you can tell how thankful he is, to be in that position to do that. But he's a fantastic race car driver. I mean, he won a lot in the lower series, you know, to get here. We obviously know, what he did a few years ago in the Xfinity series in 2020, I guess it was. He won 9 races. So he has 11 total Xfinity series wins. He had, but that year at age 25 in 2020, 9 wins, 16 top fives, 22 top tens out of 33 races. I mean, that's pretty darn good. And even the year before, I mean, the stats were good with 26 top tens, 13 top fives, but he only had the one win. And it just, the floodgates opened for him there in 2020. And that ultimately led to him getting this ride and moving up to the Cup Series. I mean, he's won 2 races in the Truck Series, now 1 in the Cup Series. So this kid knows how to race. He knows how to win. And I think that's good for the sport to have a guy like Chase Briscoe in it that's young and one of these new names that fans can get behind. But another guy that I think he is knocking on the door, and I got to talk to him at Daytona outside the holler on the morning of the Daytona 500, and that's Ross Chastain. And he finished second, and obviously nobody wants to finish second. They want to win that race, but you got to start somewhere, and he talked about that and his run on the day with Fox.
How would you sum up your day? like a day at the K1 track. It's that was so much fun to get to race like that at this level. Trackhouse Racing believes in me, and Advent Health and the Moose. These people, they believed in me early in the season whenever stuff wasn't going great. And you know, if we can keep putting these together, that's so cool to race with Tyler and Chase. Yeah, I mean, that's everything I've ever wanted. And my crew chief Phil Surgeon, like, people don't know how good he is. His adjustments this year have been so incredible, and he gave me exactly what I needed. We just came up one spot short, but I'm so happy.
I love how just, you know, humble and happy he is to finish second, because, I mean, it's very, very easy to get down on yourself and, you know, like the disappointment of not being able to win, which, sure, that exists. It should exist. Like, you're paid to win races. That's what you want. But Chastain and Tyler Reddick, who finished third, I think they're right there. And I like seeing this. You know, is it important for guys like Larson to continue to win, Chase Elliott, Kyle Busch, you know, some of these more established stars? Absolutely. But there's 36 races. And I think if you have more of a variety of winners, especially these young drivers, that is going to be good for the sport. You're going to develop new fan bases and get more people interested in it. And so I think that can only be a good thing moving forward here in the NASCAR Cup Series. So this is how it all shook out in the Ruoff Mortgage 500 at Phoenix as Chase Briscoe gets his first Cup Series win. Ross Chastain second, Tyler Reddick third, Ryan Blaney fourth, Kurt Busch fifth, Kevin Harvick sixth, Kyle Busch seventh, Joey Logano eighth, Daniel Suarez ninth, so a nice day for Trackhouse, and Chris Buescher rounding out the top 10 for Roush. Just outside the top 10, Chase Elliott, Eric Almirola, Denny Hamlin, Alex Bowman, Ty Dillon, Cole Custer, Justin Haley, William Byron, Todd Gilliland, and A.J. Allmendinger, your top 20. Up next, I want to expand on the youth movement a little bit because, like I said, I think this is a good thing for NASCAR to have this youth movement, to have these first-time winners, and to have them running consistently with this new car. We'll discuss that on Chasing Checkers, presented by Apple Collision Centers and Bristol Motor Speedway on ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
Yeah, I felt like on that last restart, two restarts, I feel like that's probably worst case scenario for me. You know, Ross and Tyler are probably two of the most aggressive guys on restarts, and obviously we're going for their first win too. And then fourth, you had Kevin, who obviously has been in a year and a half since he's won, so you know he's hungry too. So, yeah, I just knew that as long as I drove in there deeper than everybody else, I felt like I was probably going to be okay. And you know, those two other guys, you know, they were giving it everything they had too. So thankful that Ross left me a lane. He didn't have to do that. You know, I thought when I was on the outside of him that one time off of two, I already thought in my mind I was going to plug the fence and I was probably going to be done, but I was committed at that point. So I was kind of blown away that it stuck as well as it did, and then that he even left me a lane because he was all but clear. So everything just worked out perfect, you know, all day long. We you know, there was one point in the race there we kind of faded a little bit, but Johnny and the pit crew did an incredible job of just giving me an opportunity to try to win the race. And, you know, as a driver, that's all you can ask for.
That's Chase Briscoe, the winner at the Ruoff Mortgage 500 at the Phoenix Raceway. Welcome back into Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, The Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe here with you, presented by Apple Collision Centers and the Bristol Motor Speedway. Get down and dirty April 16th and 17th at Bristol Motor Speedway for the Food City Dirt Race. For more info and to purchase tickets, just go to bristolmotorspeedway.com. I wanted to talk about the youth movement, and you heard it right there in that clip of Briscoe, you know, talking about going for the win against two guys that were going for their first win as well. And, you know, I think it's cool because you've seen those three race against each other over the years. Very talented group. So I think that puts on a good show for the fans, you know, that have, because there are a lot of hardcore NASCAR fans that have followed these guys through the Truck Series, through the Xfinity Series, and even before that. You know, like I have. I mean, so to see kind of this next generation, and what's neat about things right now is, you know, you have the guys that are established that have been here for a while. You know, Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski, Chase Elliott now, Kyle Larson, you know, you throw them into that. And so you kind of have these different segments of drivers that, you know, have history together. And now you have this new crop of young guys that, you know, they have history together in the other series, and now they're bringing it to the Cup Series. And sometimes you see, you know, the young drivers as they come up, they're on kind of different timetables of just when they start to get it. And I feel like with the new car, they have, you know, everybody's on a level playing field. Now, you know, by mid-season, you're going to have some that have figured it out more than others. But the fact that you got Briscoe, that he's now punched his ticket. Cindric has punched his ticket. And like I said, Chastain is close. I think Reddick is close. I mean, that guy has come. I talked to him at Phoenix back in November, and you could just see it. Just, it was like Chase Elliott, just getting so close but couldn't get, you know, just hadn't quite gotten there yet. And I just think that he's using that as motivation, though. I mean, I think it's motivating him more than anything. And that's, you know, that's actually something that Ross Chastain, you know, said earlier this week of, you know, what it does to be just so close to winning.
So awesome. It's, people keep asking me, if I kept finishing in that close and not winning, would I get upset? And I don't think so. I know, I want to win. We're preparing to win. We are prepared to win, and we have everything we need to win. And for that, and for me, like, I couldn't be in a better spot. Like, the resources that Chevrolet and Trackhouse are giving me are putting us in a position to go win Cup races, and that cannot be overstated enough. I've been to all these places for years and was doing my deal and was on my plan and was, for that weekend, you know, a big moment in a race weekend at Phoenix was trying to run 15th in Xfinity, which I don't believe until 2020 I had ever done. And I had raced there for 4 or 5 years, and I'd never finished in the top 15 in the Xfinity series. Like, now to say in 2022 we're competing for a cup win at Phoenix, it's incredible.
That's Ross Chastain, driver of the number one on competing, you know, for a win. And that's the attitude that I like. I mean, it's one thing to be competitive and to hate to lose. I mean, you know, I respect Kyle Busch, and when he finishes second, you know, he's usually not happy about it, and that's a part of it. You're going to lose more than you're going to win in this sport, and you have to learn how to lose, and you have to learn how to motivate yourself and use those losses to help propel you to winning. Because that's the thing. You ask any driver, and they will tell you that if you don't have the checkered flag, if you don't win the race, you lost it. That's just how it is. You were a loser that week. Finishing second, obviously good for the points, top fives, all of that. That all matters, but it's all about winning. And that's what these drivers are trying to do. That's what they're paid to do, and it's what they want to do and why they got in, you know, to this business and wanted to be race car drivers. And, you know, that's exactly what happened with Chase Briscoe, as he, you know, finally got that win. And, you know, he expanded upon it even more that, you know, he was going to do what it takes. I mean, if he had to wreck it, you know, that's what he was going to do. He was going to do everything he could to go get that win.
I mean, I was committed at that point. If I lifted, I was going to get beat, because then Ross has the lead, and there's no way I was going to be able to pass him back. So, I thought there was no way that I wasn't going to hit the fence. And, you know, same thing at Darlington when I beat Kyle. You know, I felt like God was with me, because there's no way, you know, both when I won Darlington, when I hit the fence and somehow gained speed, and then today, you know, there's no way I wasn't going to knock the wall down at the angle I was at. I was up in the marbles, and somehow it stuck, and I was able to clear him. So definitely was a crazy race. You know, those restarts, they definitely made you earn them, and just an unbelievable day. Like I said, you know, thankful that our pit crew was on it. They've been on it all year long and just gave me an opportunity to try to go win the race. And like I said, that's all you can ask for from the driver's seat.
Chase Briscoe on going for the win. And that's the excitement that the fans want to see. I mean, they want to see these young drivers that are hungry and they've never had it before. And so they want to go after it. And that, I think, is how you're going to get even more fans excited about this sport, because it's not that you don't want to see them wreck all the time. I mean, are they going to at some tracks? Of course. I mean, you know what Daytona and Talladega are. I would expect you're going to see some of that today at Atlanta, because Atlanta's obviously running a restrictor plate type package that, you know, we see at Daytona and Talladega. So you're going to have some pack racing. It's going to be different there. But you want to see good hard racing and these drivers beating and banging but not wrecking as they go for the win. And with this new car, I think that, you know, they're able to do a little bit more of that just because of the brakes and how these things are built. They're closer together than they ever have been before. And therefore, I think it benefits these young drivers. You see Ty Gibbs, who won the Xfinity race yesterday. You know, he's one we're going to be talking about in the Cup Series here in a few years. Cindric with Penske. Christopher Bell with Gibbs, who got a win last year, his first win. I mean, he's a young and hungry driver. William Byron, of course. I mean, the whole Hendrick camp is, you know, under the age of 30. But, you know, Byron's one that I don't think has completely scratched the surface yet. He has two wins in his young career, but I think he's one that you're going to see winning at a more consistent clip once he gets the rest of this car figured out, just like everybody else. But, you know, I think the sport is in a really good place. I mean, I remember talking to Ryan McGee a little bit about it at Daytona of the youth movement, and, you know, things work out the way they're supposed to. The cream rises to the crop. Cream rises to the top, if I can spit that out. But, you know, you look at the standings right now. Logano is leading the way. And he's obviously a veteran driver, but he's done it, you know, without getting a win so far. Kyle Busch, Chase Elliott, Kyle Larson, and Chase Briscoe. That's the top five. And, you know, Larson, Elliott, Busch, and Logano obviously are very established in this series. Eric Almirola has had a nice start to what is expected to be his final full season as a full-time driver. Then Ryan Blaney, then Austin Cindric, then Tyler Reddick, then Kevin Harvick. So you still have those veterans that are predominantly taking over the top 10, but having guys like Cindric and, you know, I'll even put Blaney and Elliott, of course, in this conversation, but they've been racing in the Cup Series for a while. But you have Cindric and Chase Briscoe that have found their way in there, as well as Tyler Reddick. And I really like what I see, you know, with that, with those young drivers making their way, you know, towards the top of the standings. And Chastain is down a ways in 14th, but, you know, gets that win. And that's obviously going to change. You'll get these guys in the playoffs. So it's a good time to be a NASCAR fan. It's a very good time to be a NASCAR fan. And I know Ross Chastain, as I mentioned, I mean, he likes where he is. You know, he's a very positive individual. He talked about that a little bit, that he just doesn't get too high and doesn't get too low. And that's exactly where you have to be right now in this Cup Series and fighting for this championship. So the youth movement is a very good thing for the sport. And a young driver that has been around for a while and he's been through it is Ty Dillon. And coming up next, we're going to talk to the driver of the number 42 and get his thoughts on the new car and also racing at Atlanta this weekend, as you listen to Chasing Checkers, presented by Apple Collision Centers and Bristol Motor Speedway on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
If you've missed any of today's show, just search Chasing Checkers on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform.
Welcome back into Chasing Checkers, presented by Apple Collision Centers and the Bristol Motor Speedway here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. As promised, it's time to talk to a driver from the NASCAR Cup Series. We say hello to Ty Dillon. He's the driver of the number 42 Petty GMS Motorsports Chevrolet. Ty, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be on.
Yeah, it's good to have you, and it's been fun watching you this season because obviously a lot of changes for you is back in the Cup Series full-time now with Petty GMS Motorsports, and I know that was quite a ride. You signed in the offseason. You think you're going to drive for GMS in the 96 car, and then Petty comes along, and GMS buys Petty, and now you're in that famous 42. So I know that was a fun ride at least.
Oh yeah, it's been definitely an exciting off season. You know, I think as I was talking to Mike Beam, our president, a couple weeks back, he's like, you know, we've only been in business for about 9 weeks, 10 weeks, and boy, it's felt like a couple years because of all the different news and changes that we've been going through as a team and an organization. You know, at one point I was preparing myself to be the number 94, and when you have a number change, it does change things in your life, and even though it seems simple, but you get used to a number. I was 13 for a long time. Then I was wrapping my head around 94 and then 42. And I feel quite at home in the number 42. It's been a great start to our season. We have nothing but excitement to look forward to for our team and our organization. And to start our year off on the right foot with four solid runs of improving on our starting position, running every lap, building a notebook on this car has been really good. So we're excited for the rest of the year and to get rolling on some of these racetracks.
I am curious on numbers. I mean, you obviously know this better than anybody, along with your brother Austin, of just what numbers mean to the sport. And, you know, the number three car you both have driven, he obviously drives that in the Cup Series, and what that means to your family and the Earnhardt family. But 42, synonymous with the Pettys and with Lee Petty. I mean, do the drivers get caught up with that in the history of what a car number is?
I don't know about others, but I certainly do. You know, I've grown up as a kid in this sport, watching from 1992, the year I was born, till now. And, my era as a kid that I wanted every diecast of and hero card of was the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s. But when you get older, you really want to look into the history of what you're a part of. And in the 42 with Lee Petty, you know, he is the originator of the Petty name. You know, he was the first winner of the Petties and gave an opportunity to Richard. So my goal is to always honor the history, the past history of what I'm doing and what I'm a part of, and then blend in my new, you know, modern day history of it. So it's very exciting to be carrying that number. It means a lot more than just a number to me, and to also be racing for the King and racing under his dad's name is pretty special as well. So history means so much. If you don't understand your history, you don't understand where you want to go in the future. So I am proud to be a part of this race team carrying this number and hopefully get it back to victory lane. That would be the best way to honor it.
We're talking to Ty Dillon, the driver of the number 42 Petty GMS Motorsports Chevrolet. And Ty, you mentioned your new team and starting things off on the right foot. I mean, I look at this team and all of you are having to figure out this new car and learn and have a learning process, but you do have to feel pleased with the progress out of the gate. That can only go up from here because you've had some competitive race cars.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you leave the first four races of the year with a brand new car and you can say you had two top 15s and two never finished outside the top 20, and we've also completed every single lap and we're only one of three teams that have done so this year, we're very satisfied, absolutely. We've put ourselves in a good position to be able to develop this car instead of just try to focus on building it, which I think a lot of teams are in that position of just hoping to get enough parts to put a car together to go the next weekend just because of supply chain issues across the board that everyone in this country is facing. But to be able to bring every car home so far clean has really put us in a good spot. So I'm looking forward to how we can grow. We obviously know where we need to grow in that. That's just in our raw speed category. I think we went to LA at the Coliseum and we had one of the fastest cars there. And I was able to kind of prove what I could do as far as getting the car to the front. The mile and a half out of the gate have been a little bit tough on us for speed. Our teammates had great speed there. Phoenix, we were better on speed, but we're definitely trying to just improve that just raw speed component to our car so that we can get up there and make sure we're cashing in those stage points. Because they're so important, even when you're finishing in the top 15 every week, that's not going to be enough just to get you into the chase and give you an opportunity at a championship. So we need to cash in some stage points, and that's going to put us right about where we need to be. And we have been exceeding our expectations and getting closer and closer to our goals. And it just takes a little bit more, raw speed, I think, to get us into the chase.
Ty, what did last year of, you know, being out of the Cup Series, running a handful of races for Gibbs, which is obviously a competitive organization, what did that do for you in your career to kind of take that step back and reset?
Oh, that was huge. You know, I think sometimes, not all the time do we want to have to take a step back in life due to circumstance. But in the moment, I would have probably said, this is terrible. I don't want to be doing what I'm doing, sitting here having to watch everybody do what I've done for the past 5 years, and I'm sitting at home on the couch. But sitting where I am now, I'm grateful for that opportunity because it reminded me I guess, almost simply what I love about the sport. I think it's easy over time to get jaded to what you do and your opportunities. You get so focused on the hard things, the things that you don't want to have to continue to do week in and week out, and you lose focus of what you really truly love and are passionate about and what you do. And to be able to sit back and enjoy time with my wife and my kid, understanding that life is a little bit bigger than just NASCAR, our world isn't just that small, that was a special thing for me too. And then coupling it in with, you know, agreement with myself of what I love about the sport, and being able to put in the work and the effort every day, not get so caught up in the results like I have in the younger days of my career, but just fall in love with working hard, putting in my best effort, feeling every time I leave the racetrack I've done my best, and the results are just what they are. Knowing that results are up and down, especially in our sport, there's only one winner every week. But if you go out and work hard and capitalize on the things that were your focus of the week, you can't leave dissatisfied. So it's given me a new perspective, a new hunger, a new fight. I think some people were able to see that at the Coliseum in that race, that I'm not going to leave any opportunity unturned. And especially when I have fast race cars, I'm going to make sure I get them to the front and make the most of the second chance.
We're talking to Ty Dillon, and you mentioned your teammate earlier, Eric Jones, and you know he's a former winner in the Cup Series, but I feel like you two have meshed well early on. What's it been like having him as a teammate?
Yeah, you know, I think Eric's got that winning, like you said, he's been in winning equipment. He's been in the best of the best at Joe Gibbs Racing. He's a good, calm influence on, you know, just doing the right things and making sure he's in position to succeed for our race team. He's very easy to talk to. He doesn't get worked up about too much. He's got a very even demeanor. Him and his crew chief, both Dave and Eric, are great to work with. And, you know, as we grow and the year goes on, hopefully we build a notebook on, you know, the subtle differences and what Eric and I like, and we can really start growing our cars and our teams together, because our goal is not only just to get one car, you know, in the chase and be successful in winning races, but we want to have both teams doing that. We want to be battling each other. And I think Eric and I can both do that. We've done it our whole career at different teams, but now that we're on the same team, hopefully we can fight to get both of us up front.
So Atlanta this weekend, and I know a lot of controversy with the repave and the reconfiguration and everything, but it's done now. Now you have to go race it. What are you expecting with the new surface?
You know, I think everything's been so new this year. It's kind of the same process. It's really, really hard to prepare for these races that are so unique. You know, typically we have large notebooks and videos and things to go back and look on, and you almost have your mental laps prepared in your mind before you even show up. But this is going to be so unique and so different. It's going to be hard to do that. So you just go with an open mind, be prepared to work hard, dig in. NASCAR doesn't give us a whole lot of time nowadays to try to develop these cars during the weekend. So you just got to go work hard, try to do all the things you can, really study when you do get information, learn it well, and try to be the best. And, you know, this is going to be another one of those unique situations where no one knows what's going to happen. So it's going to be very important to at least run all the laps here this weekend. Try not to get yourself caught up in mistakes, because with such big unknowns going to the racetrack, you know there's going to be mistakes made. So try not to be that guy, and try to be there at the end of the race to make something happen. And if it's going to be a super speedway style race, you know, don't forget what happens in those races. There's always a big crash. There's always carnage, and you got to be one of the last ones rolling to make a difference.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, Ty, it's always good to talk to you. Appreciate the time today. Good luck this weekend in Atlanta and the rest of the way. We'll do it again soon.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate Ty Dillon for joining us here on the show this week. And, you know, I think with that move that he made, going to this new team, and obviously they bought a majority interest in Richard Petty Motorsports. Now he's teammates with Eric Jones. He's sitting in good, you know, better equipment than he's had. And obviously with this new car, I think that's certainly going to help. So, you know, I think Ty Dillon's a talented driver. And, you know, I thought his answer was interesting about what last year did for him, having to sit out, having to go run, you know, the Xfinity Series some, but being in good equipment with Gibbs, that kind of relit the fire, so to speak. So I think that Ty Dillon will continue to show what kind of talent he has. Coming up next, the Atlanta Motor Speedway. I was there for the last race on the old configuration, the old pavement. They've repaved it. They've reconfigured it. It's got the progressive banking. And watching some of the practices from yesterday and the truck race and the Xfinity race, I am very excited about the race today, and I'll tell you why. But first, I have to talk about the race that's coming up in a few weeks, April 16th and 17th. You know it. Let's get dirty, because it's the Bristol Dirt Race, the Food City Dirt Race at the Bristol Motor Speedway. It's back, and it's at night, and we're going to get dirty, and I'm very, very excited about it, because you already know that Bristol is a fun place, but you throw dirt on it, and it gets even better. We saw it last year. It was a great success, and this year it looks to be even better under the lights. April 16th, a full day of practice and qualifying, and then the Penty's Truck Race on the dirt. That is Saturday. Tickets starting at just $35, and kids are free. And then Sunday, April 17th, that's Easter Sunday. It's dirt. It's at night. Sideways is the only way down and dirty, and you saw it last year. Experience it this year, because it goes back to the NASCAR roots, back on the dirt. Kids 12 and under are just $10. So if you're older than dirt, you belong at Bristol. More information at bristolmotorspeedway.com, or you can call 866-415-4158. Get your tickets to the Food City Dirt Race, because I've been waiting a long time to say this. It's Bristol, baby! We talk Atlanta next here on Chasing Checkers, presented by the Bristol Motor Speedway and Apple Collision Centers on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I think there's a lot of ways you can look at it. You know, I really, for a repave and a situation for a mile and a half getting repaved, and just kind of the way these places drive, to have the ability to, you know, move off the bottom and, you know, get rubber down in different lanes, I feel like this might be the best way to do that. So I think it'll be interesting for sure. I don't exactly know what to expect, but hopefully, you know, we have two solid lanes and you can, you know, work them both, and I think that the cars are probably going to drive good enough to where you can do that. So we'll see. I don't know, man. I'm as open as anybody about it, and I really don't 100% know, but I do think it'll be kind of speedway-esque, and remind, just looking at it reminds me a lot of turns 3 and 4 at Texas, and I think it'll be really similar to the All-Star race out there last summer on that end of the racetrack. Has kind of been my headspace and how I've approached the weekend.
Chase Elliott, the driver of the number 9 Hendrick Chevy, talking about Atlanta and what to expect and expecting the unexpected. Chase McCabe here with you on Chasing Checkers, presented by Apple Collision Centers and Bristol Motor Speedway. Appreciate them for being on board. And I'm excited about this one. I mean, obviously a sister track to the Bristol Motor Speedway under the SMI banner is Atlanta. I was there when they raced on the old surface for the last time, and a lot of the drivers were complaining about it, that, you know, they didn't want to see it change, but it did change. It's a more narrow racetrack now. It's fast, it's paved, it's bumpy, and they're running a super speedway-type package on this mile and a half, and watching the practice from yesterday and the truck race and Xfinity race, I think we're in for a pretty fun show today. But a lot of expecting the unexpected is kind of the way to look at it. But there's some smart drivers that are going to be taking on this mile and a half. And as Ross Chastain said it, it's basically a third super speedway now.
Atlanta is the third super speedway now. It's pretty crazy. It's odd to see in person, because I just know what Atlanta looks like in my brain. And I pull out on the track and it's narrower, and the apron is very wide. Now they move the front stretch down by 20 feet, so you can shortcut quite a bit down on the flat. They're going to have to do some sort of double yellow line if the same problems arise, which I believe they will, that I've watched on YouTube and old races of guys trying to remerge and then them crashing in the corners at Daytona and Talladega. Now, the difference is, or the similarity is that right now we crash at the end of the straightaway. Most of your super speedway wrecks down the back or down the front stretch into turn 1 or turn 3. Big energy comes from 8th place up through the pack. Leader gets turned, or 4th place gets turned, or whatever, 3rd place, right up towards the front. If you make it through it, you have a chance to win. If not, there's 12 cars wrecked on the straightaway. They slide into the corner and down. if they don't put a double yellow line, I feel like we will just make it past that point, get into the banking, and as everybody jumps back up on the track from shortcutting or turning each other from bump drafting, you know, or forcing each other down there, we'll just crash in the corner.
I'm with Ross in that clip, courtesy of the Motor Racing Network. But I'm with Ross on that, that it's just weird to say that it's like this is the third super speedway and it's Atlanta. It's under 2 miles. But the way it looks like it's going to race, I think that's a pretty good way to look at it. And Kyle Busch echoed that sentiment because he feels like it's going to be the same way.
Yeah, it did feel most similar to that. I feel like the racetrack width is just kind of a little bit of a hindrance, you know, as to what you can do. Getting that top cleaned off and burned in to have a third lane would be ideal. Other than that, I would say super speedway type style race. Yeah, runs happen quicker, bigger. I don't know if it's because everything's tighter or what, but it seems like you can get runs happening and made different than what I remember at Daytona.
You know, and listening to that, I think in some ways this could be even a little more exciting than Daytona and Talladega. And I mean, I'm not saying that they're not exciting at all. I just think because this is a more narrow racetrack, it's a smaller track, you know, mile-wise, that, and like he said, runs come quicker. I think that could certainly, you know, add to the excitement factor, you know, with this. And I think what's so interesting is all the drivers, you know, they're conditioned. You heard Ty Dillon bring it up in our interview with him that, you know, they're conditioned on expecting the unexpected just because of the new car. And so that's pretty much what it's been, you know, everywhere they went. They never raced the old car on this configuration and on this surface. So all they have to go on is, you know, practice and a few test sessions here and there. Chastain ran the truck race, but those, the trucks and the cup cars race completely different. So that's just kind of the sentiment that you get from the drivers, that you have to expect the unexpected. And MRN caught up with Austin Dillon. He felt the same way.
I have no clue actually on this one. I've watched a couple laps of the test that they had and heard people talk about, you know, we're going to be wide open and speedway racing at a mile and a half and it's gripped up. We'll just have to, you know, see what that really is like. And I just hope it's not a train race, because Atlanta's been a great track in the past with the old wore out asphalt. You know, our best races come from places that just have ancient asphalt that tears up tires. So it could be a great race, and it could be one of those that you're like, whew, just try and make it through it. I'm assuming that with it being, you know, speedway style, and if handling's up, there'll be some aggressive driving, some blocks made, and you got the potential to wipe out a bunch of cars. So we'll just see how it works out.
Yeah, my guess is that the first stage, you're just going to see drivers trying to feel it out, you know, see what their cars can do, see what you can get away with, trying to be careful. And then the intensity is going to ramp up as the race goes on, as you get into the second stage and obviously in the third stage coming down for the win. You're going to see wrecking. I mean, it's going to be similar to what you see at Daytona and Talladega from that standpoint. But I feel like it's definitely going to be an exciting show for the fans, which is exactly what they were looking for. Now, I thought an interesting question to Kyle Busch was, you know, you obviously at Daytona and Talladega, it wears on you. It's a tough race, both physically and mentally. And he was asked if he expected more of the same at Atlanta.
Yeah, I think it will be just the tighter confines, being a mile and a half. You know, 325 laps around here is a lot. So you know, I think we run 188 at Talladega and 200 at Daytona. So it's 125 more laps going through the same thing and being packed up, being in tight conditions. So you will be probably more mentally than physically, but yeah, you're going to be tired after this one.
Yeah, I feel like this is going to be one of those races that drivers are going to get out of the car and go to the hall or go to the motorhome, and they're going to need a drink. I just feel like it's going to be that kind of day. But You know, what's entertaining and fun for us isn't always easy for them, so to speak. So, you know, they are the ones that have to drive the cars, and that, you know, adds a layer of difficulty. But as we get close to wrapping things up here, Sunday Money, you know, listen, I don't really know exactly how to read this one. I mean, because if you look at BetMGM, you got five drivers that are getting plus 1,000 odds to be considered the quote-unquote favorite for the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500. Chase Elliott, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Busch, Kyle Larson, Ryan Blaney, all at plus 1,000 on a BetMGM. Then you have Joey Logano at plus 1,200, William Byron at plus 1,400, Truex and Tyler Reddick at plus 1,600, and then a group at plus 1,800 that's Alex Bowman, Bubba Wallace, Chase Briscoe, Kevin Harvick, then Austin Cindric, Ross Chastain, Kurt Busch, Brad Keselowski at plus 2,200. There's a lot of value. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. led the final practice. He's at plus 3,300. I think this really could be one of those coin flip type races. So if you want to dabble a little bit on multiple drivers, I don't think that'll hurt you. Now, I personally think that Kyle Busch is one to watch on an unknown. You know, he seems to be pretty good at the unknown. And I like what his team's done so far with this new car. So I would say that Kyle Busch might be a safe bet for you. But there you go. Just some of the Sunday Money odds to look at. That's going to do it for this edition of Chasing Checkers. My thanks to Apple Collision Center and Bristol Motor Speedway. Get down and dirty April 16th and 17th at Bristol Motor Speedway for the Food City Dirt Race. For more info and to purchase tickets, just go to bristolmotorspeedway.com. And remember, if you miss any of our shows, just subscribe to the podcast. Search Chasing Checkers in the iTunes Store, Google Play, Amazon, wherever you get Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We are there, and you can also check things out at thegamenashville.com. I'm Chase McCabe. Enjoy the racing from Atlanta. We'll talk to you next Sunday morning at 8 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app.